We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yep, we got our bonus hour underway. Thank you for being with us today. The Bobster returns tomorrow to 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're also at 106.3WORD.com and in the southern part of the Upstate around Anderson, 101.5 FM. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts and feelings on the day. 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. We had mentioned earlier not only, of course, the discussion of term limits, but even age limits for government service. And a texter says, age limits, that means you'd be going against Strom Thurmond. Well, that's true. This may not be the right state to mention age limits, but nonetheless, that has been discussed and brought up from time to time. In Strom's case, I don't know how old he was at the end there. I mean, you would have pretty much have to, I guess, sawn off one of his legs and counted the rings to know for sure. Another texter says, the comforting thing for me is knowing that my seat will float. Yeah. Let me tell you something. If that plane's going down, my seat will not float. It's going to be waterlogged, if you get my drift. So that would be comforting if I thought it were true. Yeah, the whole thing with the airlines, of course, if you are old enough and you flew at an earlier time, you can remember getting served meals. I mean, not just in first class, but meals in the cabin. These days, of course, you get this bag of peanuts. And after, of course, the pilot gets on the intercom and goes through everything he's going to do, everything he's going to do. We're going to climb to 30,000 feet. We're going to take a left at Cleveland, you know. And I think that I probably I represent the voice of most people when I say, okay, fine. Just how about if you get us where it says on the ticket, you know? That's pretty much, if you want to take a left by Cleveland, then good. If that helps you out, then you do that. But I've always been tempted to go up to the cabin and tell the pilot what we're doing. Yeah, back in the cabin, we're having our peanuts now. I'm not going to have all of them now because the bag is so big. But that's what we're doing back in the cabin, since you told us what you're doing up here in the cockpit. And the nickeling and diming that takes place, fees for this and fees for that and fees for luggage and fees for carry-on, and good heavens. I mean, you look at some of the fees that they hit you with. I mean, I'm waiting for the pay oxygen mask myself. You know, the plane is losing pressure, and the oxygen mask will descend after you insert 25 cents in coin. Sure. I have some more thoughts about the planes momentarily, but right now, let's go to Keith in Rock Hill to offer some thoughts this afternoon on the Bobby Mac Show. Good afternoon, Keith.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you? I'm glad to get to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
You have been one of my favorite hosts over the years when you did America in the Morning.
Well, you know, I still am on that program. This is right here on 106.3 WORD. It's on from 5 till 6 every weekday morning just before Tara, if you're an early riser. I don't host the show anymore, which I did for, how long did I host that show? 31 years I hosted that show.
I was going to say, yeah, I knew you did, and I heard you the other morning talking, doing a clip, you know.
Yeah, I do a little funny feature at 5:25 every morning, and then I do a newsmaker interview about 5 minutes at 5:35, and then the show continues, and then at 6 o'clock Tara comes on. But if that show wasn't there, Tara would have to get up an hour early.
Well, to be honest about it, for years you were one of my companions on the way to work.
Well, you're mighty kind, and I sure appreciate that.
You were just talking about Strom Thurmond and talking about that aging out. My daddy used to talk about Strom Thurmond being he had worked himself into such powerful committees that South Carolina couldn't afford to give him up.
Well, that's true, because of seniority. That's one reason why states that tend to vote for the same candidate, they benefit from seniority. They get the committee chairmanships, and they get all kinds of projects headed their way. That's true.
I think the last committee he was chairman of was Armed Services Committee or something like that.
I don't remember which committees he chaired. I know that he was there for a long time. People think of Strom Thurmond more, you know, as a fixture of the late 20th century. Let's not forget he ran for president against Harry Truman in 1948, for Pete's sake.
At what party? Do you know what party it was?
Well, it was the Dixiecrat Party.
Dixiecrat. That's exactly right.
That's right.
You're smarter than I give you credit for. But I mean, now then you talk about it. I remember my father standing there going, and we're related to Strom Thurmond. He's a like third cousin or something like that of my father.
Yeah. Uh huh.
But he made the statement. He said, "I don't really want to vote for the man, but we can't afford to give him up. I have no choice."
He
would vote for him again.
You know, there was a time, one time when the Democrats and Republicans had some disagreement, and Democrats wanted a quorum in the Senate, a certain number of people there so that you could vote. The Republicans did not want a quorum, and this Senator Ralph Yarborough of Texas, who was probably 20, 25 years Strom's junior, was trying to enter the Senate chamber, and Strom blocked him and kept him out. and Ralph, later in Ralph made a comment about Strom that, I'll be honest with you, I can't repeat on the radio, but it's funny as all get out. Very funny comment
you're talking about. There was actually a joke that you and I are both old enough to relate to it, but I can't tell it on the air. But it was about Strom Thurmond and Ronald Reagan, and Nancy being involved, and one of these days I'll tell you that joke.
You know, you remind me of one of the funniest shows I ever did on the air. We did a show one time. This was at night on another show I do. And it was and it was a show about dirty jokes. Now, we did not tell the dirty jokes because you couldn't do that on the radio. But I discovered was that the most of the dirty jokes have clean punchlines. The setup is the dirty part, and so we just simply mentioned the punchlines. And, of course, all of us with dirty minds laughed, and the rest of the audience was saying, what was that about? So, anyway.
Well, I will tell you one that is very clean.
It better be real clean.
And you heard that there's now a cross between the coronavirus and Lyme disease, haven't you?
I have not heard that, no.
Yeah, but it's going to be called Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, boo, oh, bada-bing. All right. Oh, Keith is here all week. Try the roast beef. All right. Thank you, Keith and Rock Hill. Appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll come back and we'll talk some more. Texter here, let's see, says, love the offbeat with Jim Bohannon. I even listened to that 10 to 12 show in northern Georgia on occasion. Okay. By 10 to 12, I guess you mean Vince, and he's not in northern Georgia, but be that as it may. I'm glad you listened to The Offbeat. Mornings, weekdays, 5:25 a.m., a little funny feature if you're an early riser and you get up even before Tara shows up. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 6:15.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And a good afternoon, everybody. Good to have you with us today. It's now 6:20 at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. And Linda calls in from Greenville with some thoughts this afternoon. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I think Strom was about 100 years old when he died, and he was still in office.
He was 100 and about 6 months when he died. Died in June of 03, and he had been born in December 5th of 02. And I don't think he was still in office. I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that.
Well, okay, well, you check on that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, he was in office. He was in office until, let's see. I'm looking here. I think till 01. Almost until his death, yeah.
The last time he ran for office, he probably was in his late 90s, 96, 95, something like that. And my mother called me that Sunday evening before Election Day and said, "Are you going to vote for that old man?" And I said, "Mom, if he dies tonight, I'm voting for him on Tuesday, because whoever's running that office up there is doing a fine job." I know Strom didn't do it. He's too old.
Well, during his latter years, his staff did, I think, do a lot of the day-to-day
work.
Yes,
they did, and I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
But he was a fine senator for the people of South Carolina. I would hear people on the television say, "I had this difficulty, and I called Senator Thurman's office, and the next day," that was always the phrase, "and the next day, this happened."
Oh, he almost invented constituent service. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And I was going through Edgefield one day, and I stopped at a church where there were kids. I think probably it was Bible school week, out in the churchyard. And I stopped, and I said, "Where is Senator Thurman buried? I would like to go see it." And they pointed down the road and said, "He's down there." And this one little boy piped up, and he said, "He saved my life when I was born and in the hospital." So I guess he did something for that family. But that little boy was told that, and he remembered it.
Wow, a pretty amazing story. One of the legendary figures. Yeah, he had declined to seek re-election in 02.
Ah.
And as a matter of fact, you know who succeeded him in the Senate? You know who succeeded him in the Senate?
No,
Lindsey Graham.
Remember that.
Lindsey Graham. I mean, and he's been around, of course.
Lindsey, I've heard Lindsey
say. He's been around for 18 years now. What?
Yeah, I've heard Lindsey say, because people ask him when he's getting married, and he says, well, when I get into my 60s, I'll go up to the Miss South Carolina pageant and pick one out.
Yeah,
exactly. Most of his wives were Miss South Carolina, yes.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Yeah, Strom, an amazing level of vitality, Linda. I swear, I don't know if he was drinking from the fountain of youth or what, but it certainly worked for him.
Yes, it did. Yes,
it did.
I listened to you in the morning, too.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Yeah, again, we do a couple of early things at 5:25 and 5:35. And then, of course, Tara comes on at 6. So I appreciate that, Linda. And thank you for your listenership and for your call. It's now 6:24. We go to Bob in Tryon. Hello, Bob.
Hey, my man. Something about Strom Thurmond. This went around a couple years ago. Do you remember when they raised the Confederate submarine called the Huntley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, there was a bumper sticker on there that said, vote for Strom.
That's very funny. That's great. I can easily believe that, yeah.
That's all, my man. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Bob. That's very good. I like that. Yeah, I bet there was. I don't think any doubt that there was, yeah. Yeah, Strom was around forever, and he did finally, he had collapsed not long before he declined to run for re-election. So even Strom couldn't go on forever. But, yeah, to say they don't make him like that anymore, I guess, would be the great understatement, without question. All right, Jimbo for Bobby Mack. 1063 WORD, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Oh, we have another limerick alert from Alan R. in Spartanburg here. Let's see. Having finished a dismal fifth place, Joe Biden would not show his face. Oh, you're texting me right out of being able to read this here. Let's do it again here. Having finished a dismal fifth place, Joe Biden would not show his face to New Hampshire supporters who learned from reporters that old Joe had flown south in disgrace. Well done, Alan. Thank you, sir. This one is just for you, Jimbo. Jimmy Carter was having trouble in the bedroom, and he went to the doctor. The doctor said, well, never mind. That's as far as I go with your little joke here. Texter says, Bernie may have a strong and passionate base, but I think he lacks the acumen for opportunism that Trump had in 2016. Oh, I don't know. Every presidential candidate who's successful has a certain acumen for opportunism. The president saw an opening, and he went for it, and he won. Bernie thinks he sees an opening, and well, I don't think that he does. For the nomination, maybe, but for the presidency, probably not. But again, you never know. If some major foreign policy crisis occurs, if the economy goes way south, things can happen. That's why it bothers me, even the prospect of a Bernie Sanders being on a national ticket. Then you're one election away, one vote away from winning. And again, I cannot overemphasize this fact. Tens of millions of Americans hate Donald Trump's guts. They take it as a given that he's racist and sexist and everything else. And no, I don't think that they're correct, but I know that they believe it. And that's all you have to have. People may vote on faulty beliefs, and that's all I'm saying, that it frightens me. A President Biden, that phrase does not roll off my tongue easily, we'd survive it. He'd be largely a caretaker liberal. But President Bernie, in 4 years in the White House, even if he were not reelected, he could do a lot of damage. If by some miracle he got a Democratic Senate to go with a Democratic House, he could do a heck of a lot of damage. And that really frightens me a great deal. Texas says, when Strom announced he would not run again, I remember that he said in an interview that I believe in term limits. He always had a sense of humor. Airborne, with another texter. I believe Strom was airborne, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double-check that. But he had an amazing career. He first entered public life, after all, in 1924. Think about that. He was already in public life when the Great Depression occurred. That is pretty remarkable. So, for what it's worth, anyway. We'll come back and we'll talk about a few more things, have a few more thoughts about the airlines to pass along to you. We haven't mentioned Andrew McCabe and why he was not charged. And there are some interesting thoughts about that that I can share with you as well. This is Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. Stand by. We got more to come here. The time is 6:29.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And a good afternoon to all of you, and good to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us on the Bobby Mack thing with, it's only you, Jim Bohannon, here filling in at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. We'll check that out again in a moment. I mentioned that I thought that Strom Thurmond was airborne during World War II. Yeah, actually, in 1942, when he was 39, by the way, after the U.S. entered World War II, Judge Thurmond resigned from the bench and served in the U.S. Army. He rose to lieutenant colonel, served in the Battle of Normandy, landed, actually, in Normandy in a glider attached to the 82nd Airborne. He won 18 decorations, including the Legion of Merit with Oak Leaf Cluster and a Bronze Star with the Valor device and a Purple Heart. So that's a part of such an expansive career that we overlook that, honestly, I think, very often. Bloomberg could be a pretty scary to have as an executive with an order. I'm trying to read this here. Bloomberg could be pretty scary if he issued executive orders to confiscate guns. I don't think that there's any way he could do that. He would, in short, that wouldn't stand up. You'd have to get that through Congress, and there'd be all kinds of court fights, and I doubt very seriously that you would have a Congress that would be that liberal The confiscating guns, I don't think so. Not that they wouldn't want to, but I don't think they're going to be in a position to do so. Anyway, thought about airplanes and the flying experience. I used to enjoy a great deal. I was never a white-knuckle flyer. I was always a gee, isn't this fun? I'm soaring up above the clouds kind of flyer. It's, of course, a lot less fun these days with all of the security measures that are required. One part of the flight that I always enjoyed was the little bathroom in the back. It almost becomes like your own little private suite on the airline. Of course, that would be very rude of you if you used it that way, but that's how it felt to me. Of course, a little tiny room, but then you get in there, and it has everything that a bathroom usually has, and of course has that vacuum pump toilet. I've often wondered, you know, if the vacuum worked the wrong way, would it take a crowbar to get you off that seat? I don't know. But of course, they got the little mirror, and even a window. In fact, Bob Newhart, the comedian, told about the time that he was flying on a flight, and there was this little old lady on the flight and who had used the restroom just before they landed. And as they were leaving the plane, the flight attendant stopped Bob Newhart and said, "Look in the restroom." And he did. He looked, and the little old lady had used the restroom. And mind you, they're flying, you know, like 30,000 feet at 600 miles an hour, right? And the curtain on the window had been pinned together. The sense of modesty of the little old lady, 30,000 feet and 600 miles an hour. But you never know when somebody might peek in that window, right? But, yeah, I've always liked the little room. And it is almost like your own little office up there. And, of course, it's got the mirror and the toilet and the sink. It has everything you find in an ordinary restroom. It also has something that I have never fully understood. A slot for used razor blades. Ever notice that? There's a slot for used razor blades. Is somebody shaving on the flight? And shaving so much that they are using up razor blades? What? Is the Wolfman on this flight? Never understood that. Anyway, for what it's worth, I was going to mention, and it's now 19 before 7, so I'll mention him, Andrew McCabe. Why wasn't he charged? The proof that he willfully deceived investigators is strong, but the Justice Department probably felt there were too many obstacles to convict him. They've announced that they've closed their investigation of McCabe, the FBI former deputy director, over his false statements to investigators looking into that unauthorized leak that McCabe had orchestrated. McCabe had been fired back in March of 2018, shortly after that blistering Justice Department Inspector General report concluded that he repeatedly and blatantly lied, or as the Bureau lexicon put it, that Andrew McCabe lacked candor. Is that great? Lacked candor. Yeah, he lied. When questioned under oath, why not indict McCabe on felony false statement charges? That's a good question. The Constitution guarantees equal justice under the law, so McCabe should get the same quality of justice afforded to others pursued with unseemly zeal by his FBI and Robert Mueller's prosecutors. George Papadopoulos was convicted of making a trivial false statement about the date of a meeting. Roger Stone was convicted of obstruction long after the special counsel knew there was none, zero, nada. There was none of this Trump-Russia conspiracy thing. In the case of Michael Flynn's false statement conviction, as McCabe himself acknowledged to the House Intelligence Committee, even the FBI agents who interviewed him did not believe he intentionally misled them. Now, it's important to note Flynn's intent, because lack of intent is apparently McCabe's principal defense, too. Even McCabe himself, to say nothing of his lawyers and his apologists in the anti-Trump network of bureaucrats turned pundits cannot deny that he made false statements to FBI agents and to the inspector general. But they argue that McCabe did not mean to lie, that he was too distracted by his high-level responsibilities to focus on anything as mundane as a leak. Although, did you notice he seemed pretty darn well focused on the leak while he was orchestrating it? But he did not believe he intentionally misled them. Defense is not just implausible. It proved unavailing on McCabe's watch, at least in the case of General Flynn's case. Hence, McCabe has a backup plan to argue that it would be extraordinary, thus unconstitutionally selective and retaliatory, for the Justice Department to prosecute a former official for false statements in a mere administrative inquiry, which the leak probe was, as opposed to a criminal investigation. All right, tell that to Michael Flynn, with whom the FBI conducted a Brace-style interview at the White House without his counsel present, and in complete disregard of procedures for FBI interviews of the president's staff, despite the absence of a sound investigative basis for doing so, and whom Mueller's squeezed into a guilty plea anyway. So that argument didn't hold any water with Flynn, but apparently McCabe will use that as his backup plan. It could be a while before we learn the whole story of why the Justice Department walked away from the McCabe case, if we ever do. It's worth revisiting the case against McCabe as outlined by that Inspector General Michael Horowitz. If you want to know why people are so angry and why they are increasingly convinced that for all of Donald Trump's drain-the-swamp rhetoric, a two-tiered justice system is there that rewards the well-connected, well, you can make a case for that. We'll talk some more about it. Jim Bohannon for Bob McLean, 106.3 WORD. It's now 15 before 7. Afternoon all. It's 11 now before 7, which will be, of course, after the news at 7, Mark Levin time. Stay tuned for that. We're talking a bit about the Andrew McCabe situation, and he's not going to be charged. It is, to a certain extent, I suppose, a level of practicality. For the record, in October of 2016, McCabe directed his counsel, Lisa Page, remember her, to leak investigative information about the FBI's Clinton Foundation probe to reporter Devlin Barrett, then of the Wall Street Journal. The leak had the effect of confirming the existence of the investigation, something the FBI is supposed to resist. While his high rank gave him the power to authorize such a disclosure, if it were in the public interest, the Inspector General found that McCabe's leak was clearly not within the public interest. Matter of fact, the Bureau's then-director, James Comey, had tried to keep the Clinton Foundation probe under wraps, refusing to confirm or deny its existence, even to the House Judiciary Committee. Now, Comey was right to stay mum. A public revelation would have harmed the probe and thrust the FBI deeper into the politics of the then-imminent 2016 presidential campaign, in which Hillary, of course, was the Democratic nominee. Her investigation by the Bureau was a pretty explosive campaign issue at the time. Now then, notwithstanding those concerns, according to the Horowitz report, McCabe orchestrated the leak to advance his personal interest, to paint himself in a favorable light in comparison to Justice Department officials amid an internal dispute about the Clinton Foundation probe, specifically the Obama administration's Justice Department pressure on the Bureau to drop it. As the inspector general put it, McCabe's disclosure was an attempt to make himself look good by making senior department leadership look bad. Mm-hmm. Now, McCabe's account has been contradicted by Comey, a witness who is otherwise sympathetic to McCabe and hostile to the Trump Justice Department, and whose actions, like his, are being examined by the prosecutor John Durham's probe of the entire Trump-Russia investigation. Comey's testimony is directly at odds with McCabe's version of events, and the inspector general painstakingly explained why the former director's version was credible, while his deputy's was not. Comey, by the way, was nevertheless exceedingly complimentary of McCabe after the IG report was published. Page, Lisa Page, is regarded by McCabe backers as key to his defense. He reportedly told the grand jury that because McCabe had authority to approve media disclosures, he had no motive to lie about the leak, which is laughable, frankly. McCabe did serially mislead investigators so plainly he had some reason for doing so. But even putting that aside, the inspector general's conclusion was not that McCabe lacked authority to leak. It was that he lacked a public interest justification for exercising that authority. And that's what the law required. Yeah, you got the power to release this if it's in the public interest. And it was not, according to the inspector general. He leaked for self-promotion, to pat himself on the back. And he lied about it because it was humiliating to be caught putting his personal agenda ahead of the Bureau's investigative integrity. That said, Page's account does illuminate a problem for prosecutors. It's tough to win a case when your witnesses are spinning for the defendant. And, of course, there was Page's tweet toasting McCabe in the aftermath of the news that the DOJ had closed the investigation. So, all in all, a pretty unsavory circumstance. But it comes down to practicality in the final analysis. Andrew McCabe posed too many problems, too many obstacles for conviction, and that's why he's not been charged. The government could make a serious case that he should have been, but the government likes high batting averages, and they didn't think they had a gimme conviction in this particular case. McCabe was not indicted, says this texter. McCabe was not indicted because if he were to be convicted, every criminal conviction during his tenure would be subject to being overturned, at the very least to be reviewed. And there is always that problem when you find somebody at that high a level. Then what impact can it have on cases that could throw all kinds of criminal cases and convictions out the window, or at the very least raise serious questions about them? This is something that does not please prosecutors or law enforcement agencies, including the FBI. So, for what it's worth, that wraps up some of our thoughts here on this President's Day of 2020. And it's a, as I've noted before, it's a day that originally began regarding, it was just simply a remembrance of George Washington's birthday, February 22nd. A perennial day of remembrance. The 1832 centennial of his birth was a big national holiday. The Washington Monument began construction in 1848, and it was an unofficial American observance for most of the 1800s. Then in the late 1870s, it became a federal holiday. Senator Stephen Wallace Dorsey of Arkansas was the first to propose the measure. And in 1879, President Rutherford B. Hayes signed it into law, which initially was a holiday only in the District of Columbia. But in 1885, it was expanded to the whole country. And at that time, Washington's birthday joined four other nationally recognized federal bank holidays: Christmas, New Year's Day, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. And was the first to celebrate the life of an individual American. In fact, the second wasn't until Martin Luther King Jr. Day signed into law in 1983. And, of course, the celebration combined the birthdays of Washington and Lincoln, courtesy of the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. And I can see reasons for the uniform Monday holiday act. We all like those three-day weekends, don't we? But, I mean, how far away are we from, let's say, the 4th of July no longer being the 4th of July, but the 4th of July being the first Monday in July? How far away are we from that? Not far, I would dare say, because Americans love a good day off. So you can see that happening. And, of course, there you got your Thanksgiving holiday, which is a precedent that somehow never caught on, a four-day weekend. I always enjoyed the four-day weekend myself, except, of course, for me, it usually meant filling in somewhere. Like virtually every Thanksgiving, you will find me talking here on 106.3 WORD, which I appreciate. I enjoy filling in. It's kind of fun. But anyway, President's Day was not always out there. And there was a time right after Washington's death, there were more than a few Americans who weren't so sure that George was the hero he had been made out to be. There was a period there when he was in a certain amount of disrepute, sadly enough. That does conclude things for today. Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean. He returns tomorrow here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We've had a lot of fun. Thank you for joining in. And for the moment, stay tuned for the news. And then Mark Levin, the time now, 3 minutes before 7 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.